The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play Underdog's Pick'em for a chance to win 100x times your money. Promo code SGPN at underdogfantasy.com for a 100% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. Enter their free Daytona 500 contest for a chance to win $100 in cash and $100 in an SGPN gift card for the sportsgamblingpodcast.com store/Daytona to enter. All right. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the College Baseball Experience. I am joined today by a good friend of mine, special guest, Matt Grissom from the NCAA Insiders. Matt, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well. Glad TCU got that walk-off. That was a big sigh of relief.
For sure. My name is Noah Bienick, filling in the host duties for Colby, who's currently doing our college basketball show here Saturday night. But honestly, everybody loved the Friday night show. We had it was the most downloaded college baseball show in this podcast history. So I was like, you know what, let's do a bonus show. I reached out to some of the guys and I was like, hey, if anybody wants to come on, I'm happy to chop it up and just shoot the shit, and we can talk about some of Friday's action. And if the lines drop, we can talk about our instant reaction to stuff. But if not, make sure to comment,
man. They are dropping as we speak. Oh,
there we go. So yeah, I mean, make sure to comment in YouTube or on Twitter, and we'll hit on your comment. We'll show it on the screen, and we'll get in. But we want to talk about some of the Friday action here, just because we had it somewhat planned out that, you know, we weren't going to have lines. But this is awesome, perfectly timed. Grissom. Amazing games on today. Very exciting. We finally had college baseball back. We have some Friday night overreactions planned for the show, but I want just your overall take. How did you do betting tonight, and what did you enjoy most of the day?
So I started off really good getting Jacksonville home. They ended up playing a doubleheader, and I actually had split bets. Didn't realize that. Always make sure you're betting on the right game. Luckily, they won both games, and Indiana State took care of business this morning. That was a random play, thanks to somebody on Twitter who said, take the Sycamores plus 120 or whatever they were. Nebraska, they looked pretty good. Indiana let me down, but overall, I finished 8-6, up 1.5 units, so I cannot complain. I said I wasn't going to go crazy on this board, and then I ended up having 14 bets. So when I saw spots, I had to jump on them.
Yeah, I apologize for my lighting. I'm not normally in this setting, but I'm actually dog watching for my aunt that played college basketball for Florida. We'll get to the Gators in a little bit. That was a rough showing in game one. But from last night's podcast episode, 13-7 on the picks that we gave out, but we do a lock in the dog at the end of that show. I hit on the lock. The dog was Northeastern, which did not come through. The actual opening line bets that I gave out on Twitter, and that a couple of our other buddies also were riding with us, we had tremendous CLV on them. But I mean, in my opinion, CLV is nothing in college baseball. Just any type of money moves the line. So we went 1-2 with Northeastern, which I just think that was a bad bet. I didn't really think they even had a chance in this game. UCSB destroyed Campbell. It was like 20-8 final score, but that was not close. It was like 12-3 for most of it. And then Kansas State, it was a nail biter with Cal. That one, I got it plus 100. That closed at like plus 140 or something like that. All of those, tremendous CLV. We went 1-2 on that. But on the show, 13-7 on those picks. Like I said, I didn't track the units because I didn't give them all out. And then for the entire card, 6-4, up 1.8, and both parlays, the early slate and the late slate parlays hit. So fun day for me overall. The interactions on social media were great. I had a couple of interactions with some team personnel. I tagged a kid that was wearing number 77 and playing shortstop for Oklahoma. That was great. But yeah, I think it did not disappoint with college baseball day one. Let's jump into some of the Friday night overreactions, because now that we have the lines coming out, we don't have to worry about stalling anymore. Do you want to start with your, you said you had three categories. You want to talk about them real quick?
Before the good, the bad, the ugly.
And which one do you want to start with?
I think it's set up perfectly to have a good group for each category. So let's start with the good. All right, Jonathan Santucci and Duke. We knew their pitching staff was going to be good. I think it may be elite. They're definitely going to make some noise in the ACC. UCSB, I kind of ragged on their offensive production, but they brought it. They took it to Campbell. Well, they went 20-8. So UCSB may be your mid-major darling. I was propping up Northeastern. We'll get to them a little bit. Tennessee looked really good. AJ Russell, I know Johnny had his doubts about backing him. He thought, this would be a buy-low spot for Texas Tech. And that offense, playing in a big league park, it came down to pitching.
He was outstanding.
And he was the reason he's the Friday night guy.
So I was high on Tennessee. You were high on this kid. And both of us were like, holy shit, Tennessee might be like elite this year.
I was it was never in doubt. Loved that game. It was a very good game to watch. And shout out Flo Baseball for they really upped their game.
They did.
Paying $25 if you use that 15% off. Coastal Carolina, 26-0. The Killer Bees, Brown. Yeah.
That's what I tweeted out.
That's unreal.
I'm so happy I got a piece of that in our fantasy draft, taking Bender.
Sean, didn't
you guys grabbed Bodine, right?
Yeah, I can't remember if we got him.
Oh no,
yeah,
you got Basil as your second catcher.
Oh, Basil, one of the bees, but that's Texas Tech. Okay, let's go to the bad.
I'll do my good.
Give me your good.
I only have one. I didn't prep like you did. I told you like, hey, this is a good idea. Let's do this for the show. But I was also producing our college basketball show for the last hour and a half. For sure. There's a massive 155 game slate tomorrow in college basketball, if you didn't know. My good is a lot of the transfer hitters showed up day one. I love to see it. I mean, you saw so many of these guys just hit tanks in their first game and new threads. The guys that come to mind are like the ones in the late slate, but I felt like it was happening most of the day. Clemson had Mathis transfer in from Richmond. He hit one over the pitching facility in right field. Braden Montgomery hit one to deep right center for Texas A&M. Who else? The Tennessee, Billy Amick, right? Billy.
Yep.
Amick hit one basically wrapping around the foul pole, like a pesky pull shot at Boston. I just felt like a lot of the transfers on the hitting side showed up. A lot of the ones for the pitching, I guess it was kind of a two-parter. I felt a lot of the established Friday night guys did not show some of their best stuff tonight or today. I thought the one was Santucci, who started off the day great, but a lot of the guys that we were looking forward to, dominating kind of didn't. Honestly, I was watching Dallas Baptist early. Ryan Johnson struggled. Hagan Smith, your guy. I drafted him in fantasy baseball too. He struggled early. He got pulled early too, which was actually even more surprising than me.
Yeah, one inning.
Yeah.
42 pitches.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's just a couple of notable pitchers that I thought struggled. All right, let's get to your bad.
Hey, you left out Jared Sprague-Lott, the transfer from Richmond. He went yard for the Razorbacks today. So
there we go.
A lot of transfers.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. Well, I'm on the spot, and I didn't write anything down, but I'm telling you, there was a lot of transfers.
Good. I'm going to fill it in when you can. okay, so the bad. You've got to start with the Florida Gators. What? Yeah. In the hell was that?
Dude, I have no...
You got one no looking clue. Over your shoulder.
I've got two.
Cade Fisher looked terrible. Cade
struggled in inning one. And the offense... So, I mean, this was the whole. I think we're a total balanced team, but offensively, there's a lot of swing and miss. And St. John's is just throwing strikes, you know, and they couldn't hit today. So there's going to be some of those days, apparently. Like, and that's scary for sure.
Well, you shouldn't do it as the number two team in the country.
Against St. John's, who's not even a top two team in the Big East.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so more of the bad. Let's go.
There's more.
Northeastern was that. I figured they were going to be a lot better. I figured they could take care of business today, and that I thought they could win this series overall against Arizona. I get it. It's a Power Five school. Arizona's got athletes, but come on. With Mike Sirota, Cam Maldonado, McGregor, like that lineup, they should have won that game. They fell flat on their face. And albeit us, who I feel like everybody, when my grandmother texts me, hey, should I bet Northeastern as a dog? Like, I feel like everyone who was looking for action immediately went and bet UCSB and Kansas State and Northeastern. And
part of that's due to us.
Yeah, I guess when you regurgitate the same thing over and over again. But yeah, I mean, Louisville, we could talk about them, but you know, they're outside of the top 25, so I can't really say I had high expectations. But
we talked about it on the show. We talked about it on the show like last year, the year that you had, it did not validate being favored them being favored over Indiana State game one after the year that Indiana State had. They lost all their starting pitching, but they returned a good chunk of that lineup. In their defense, they lost two nail biters, you said. So,
yeah,
I mean,
lost to Indiana State 7-8 and then to UConn 4-3, which UConn, Indiana State, they're both projected to win their conferences, but at the end of the day, Louisville do better.
That's what inexperienced teams do. They lose close games.
Shout out Jonathan Richmond in the chat, former Razorback. He said, why is Saracen so slow? I don't know. They took about four hours to pay out an Arkansas bet that I'd made.
I was having that issue with DraftKings today too. So I don't even think it's bet Saracen.
It's crazy. And it may be partially because of what I talked about earlier, where you bet two games. A lot of times in doubleheaders, if you're not checking that the start time, you may be thinking you're betting game one when really it's game two. So you've got to wait for game two to go final.
And speaking of, I'll talk about this actually right now. The number one question that I had as social media was blowing up for me was, how do I check these scores? Because ESPN sucks. They don't update the scores basically at all. Once the game starts, you know that it starts because the time's still there. There's no score at all in the score bug on the app. So what I always tell people is War and Nolan. It's free, and it's actually pretty customizable in the windows that you can look at. You can sort it by top 25 if you're a TMZ, or you can go conference specific. So if I wanted to check out on how the Big West did, I can click on the Big West and get all the Big West scores. Speaking of, actually, I'll let you finish too, because I think I interrupted.
Well, I was going to say, Kelly in Vegas texted me and she was like, how the fuck do you, I hope I can cuss on this show. She said, how the fuck do you check scores in college baseball?
It's annoying, dude.
And I sent her Warren Nolan and she said, this doesn't even say that Kansas State has started yet. And I said, well, let me save you some heartache. It's the eighth and Cal is up 3-5. And she just hit the thumbs down and went back on silent mode or do not disturb. So sorry, Kelly, for that bullshit pick, but it is what it is. This is college baseball. There's like 8,000 more games. So I'm not going to let a 8-6 day really bog me down.
Yeah, it's still a positive day. It could have been much better if the three that we gave out early actually followed through, you know.
All I had to do was go ahead and go to my spreadsheet at NCAAinsiders.com where I track every single bet. Quick plug, and mark TCU parlays as a loss. And then lo and behold, they rally and they win in walk-off fashion.
The ending to that was insane.
It's college baseball. We're betting on kids.
It never disappoints. That one, strike three on the batter. Peyton Chatagnier hit a double. He's sitting on second base. Pass ball on the strike three. Chatagnier takes third. The runners run down the first base line. He was kind of inside, but by the time the throw was made, it wasn't going to be that bullshit runner's lane rule. He collides with the first baseman. The ball goes by the first baseman. Chatagnier runs home. TCU wins. Just an insane ending. They go to review for 5 minutes. It was a waste of time. TCU wins.
Sean Alvarez, I just want to say, he's still in this chat. This guy goes to bed at 7:30, and he lives in Las Vegas, and that's saying a lot. West Coast, Sean, thanks for being here, man. I know you're way past your bedtime.
I can relate. I don't think I had anything in the middle. So, yeah, let's go to ugly.
Florida was your bad, right?
Yeah, we were both kind of thinking the same thing on that front.
Okay, so the ugly.
I wanted to actually add Stanford. They got swept today in a doubleheader by Fullerton. So, yeah, that one, they might be pretty bad this year.
I think they will. The ugly, these are teams that were supposed to win, but barely got it done. And at the top of that list, my Arkansas Razorbacks, that was pitiful. Hagan Smith comes in to the season with a new splitter. He's sitting 100 on his fastball, can touch 101, 102. Just didn't have it. Gets pulled out of the first inning. Thankful for Will McIntyre. He comes in, arm, and just grinds it out.
He's that dude, though. Like, McIntyre's kind of always been that way.
That is his role, and we're going to ride him as long as we can. I mean, he was up to, like, 90-something pitches in the regional, and he said, I'm going to go back out there. And Matt Hoff said, no, you're absolutely not. You pitched 40-something pitches the night before.
Yeah, he had 130 in the 2 days.
Yeah, he was ready. Okay, Vanderbilt. What was that?
Oh, my Lord.
Florida Atlantic.
I was on FAU, too, though.
Yeah, I took a little bit on that money line. I should have followed y'all and bet the run line. But
yeah, I didn't have any on the money line. I just had some on the run line.
That was a fun sweat. But then I realized that I'd already parlayed Vanderbilt in another one. So somebody on Twitter hit me up. Was like, I don't know which one to root for. You've got both of them. I'm like, yeah, that was stupid. An oversight by me. TCU, they struggled here early, but they figured out a way. Virginia, they struggled early. They figured out a way to come back against Hofstra. So last but not least, LSU. I think we've seen enough. This is my overreaction. Okay, Noah, are you ready?
LSU's hit me with the overreaction.
LSU's not making it back to Omaha. They don't have.
I was waiting for you to say they're not making the NCAA tournament.
No, I feel like they'll make the tournament. They'll make the tournament, but – this is not an Omaha team.
I didn't really watch too much of that game because I thought they were just going to handle VMI. But I like the pitching staff on paper. I think it's deeper than it was last year. But the offense definitely certainly has their questions, and it showed today. For me, everybody tweeting about some of these studs. The first one that jumped off the screen to me was Brody Brecht. He threw 4.1 innings. He had 11 strikeouts, which is obviously insane, but he also had 6 walks and he didn't get through the 5th inning, which is just, I mean, what good does he do? Also, South Carolina, for having one of the best offenses in the country, only scored in one inning total against Miami, Ohio today. They beat the Red Hawks 5-1. And they scored 5 runs in the second inning and didn't score again in the single inning outside the second. They were out hit by Miami. That was not great to me, in my opinion. You already mentioned the George Mason disaster. George Mason was supposed to be good, like one of the better teams in A-10, in my opinion. And Coastal, the pitching staff's been a big question in the preseason. You get one hit total. Like, yeah, a coastal pitching staff shouldn't be doing that to anybody.
And I think that may be something we completely overlooked in the 26-0 shutout. Like, that's pitching too.
Yes, yes.
That pitching staff did very good.
Yes. And then, dude, this one kind of got swept under the rug because they were playing Fordham, but Wake Forest also got out hit by Fordham today.
I didn't realize that.
I'm nervous.
I mean, there's a reason they weren't in the good category, but they did what they were supposed to do. Cody Frazier said Coastal is always good. They're right. Yes, but their problem has been pitching. All their pitchers are like mid-5 ERA guys.
Which I want to talk about some pitching. Nationally, like perceived as one of the best pitching staffs in the country. You mentioned it is Vanderbilt. They gave up 11 runs to Florida Atlantic today. That was pretty interesting. So yeah, those are my main takeaways. Florida sucked, obviously. But yeah, I think that was good. And honestly, we would have went a little bit deeper into that topic had we not started to see some lines trickle out. But I'm excited for this, Chris. Like, we can talk some instant reactions, hopefully not have these lines move on us before we even place. But let me hit on an ad. You can get an early head start in looking on some of these as I read through this real quick. So let me tell you about SGPN's Daytona 500 contest here, because NASCAR is back. Check out the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb have you covered on all things NASCAR and racing. From trucks to cup, IndyCar to F1, this show gives you the drivers to watch and the most profitable picks for weekends of racing. Enter their free Daytona 500 contest for a chance to win $100 SGPN gift card and $100 in cash as well. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Daytona. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Daytona. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. They have a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, college basketball, simply pick higher or lower on some of your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win up to 100x with some spicy plays. I gave it out on College Basketball Show. My favorite play for tomorrow is Ray J. Dennis higher than a half steal against West Virginia's specifically Kirk Kreeza. So watch along, make your picks, and make sure you make and maybe make a little bit of cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. All right, I'm pulling up the DraftKings app. We're not sponsored by anybody.
While you're doing that, I'm going to make one more bold prediction about LSU. LSU plays UCA, which is where I'm from, Conway, the other Conway.
Central Arkansas.
Yep. That's where Scottie Pippen went to school. We build champions. UCA, they'll play them twice, and then VMI they'll get again. LSU is going to drop one of those.
One of those three?
UCA is plus 750 tomorrow.
Wow. Against LSU, I take it.
Yeah, which if you remember last year, UCA beat Vanderbilt in a midweek.
Who beat Arkansas? Arkansas fell early last year too, right? Who did Arkansas lose to?
I feel like Arkansas always drops in midweek. Missouri State, maybe.
Oh, it could have been. I'm putting you on the spot. That's not fair. Duke.
I try to forget about the losses, Noah.
Duke minus 475 against George Mason plus 325. That one immediately jumps out to me. Under 500, I can probably throw that into a money line parlay. If George Mason only got one hit against Coastal Carolina, Duke's pitching staff's probably going to shut them down, right?
You would assume so.
Yeah, that one's at 11 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. Early slate. So noon Eastern, so that would be 11 o'clock your time and before. There's a handful of games here. First one that jumped out to you instantly.
Honestly, it's juicy, but Tennessee minus 210.
Yeah, Drew Beam's on
it. It's late, but Oklahoma, Tennessee minus 210 plus 160 on Oklahoma. I think Tennessee rolls them. Oklahoma looked decent today.
Oh,
I
said like 11 o'clock east, like 11 o'clock in the morning and before. And you went all the way down the board.
I'm sorry.
You're good.
I don't.
I was like, where is this game at? It's all the way down. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
That was just the one that kind of stuck out to me.
Okay.
On the board, Iowa seems appropriately priced -210 with Marcus Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Southern, Maryland.
Who, in my opinion, Morgan's Southern... the most steady arm on that Iowa staff. I actually think he's a better college baseball pitcher than Brecht.
I would agree with you. I think this is going to be – Saturday's probably going to be a day where I take a couple of these -200-ish teams and parlay them together, kind of like in a round robin.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like they're going to get done, but nobody wants to lay -210.
True.
Texas -230 against San Diego. Again, Texas should take care of them. I think Charlie Hurley's going.
I'm a little nervous now that it's not Tanner Witts. They're not their start. Their number two going in the weekend rotation.
I don't even think he's going to start this weekend.
No, that's what I had heard too. So, yeah, that's interesting because Texas, I felt like they were being ranked, counting on Witt to be a weekend starter, and he's not. So that's interesting.
Georgia, going back, Georgia Southern, I started talking about.
That's the one I was just about to hit on. Who'd you take in the 11.7 contest between
us? That's what I was getting at. Georgia Southern. Okay. Who won game one?
Maryland. 5-4. Did you take Southern?
No, I didn't bet it.
It was one of my leverage plays in this contest because Ben's so high on Georgia Southern. I was like, everybody that listens to their pod is going to take Georgia Southern. I'll happily take Maryland. Yeah,
you took Maryland. That was smart.
So, I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. I still think the Terps are the third best team in the Big Ten.
Line today?
We picked it on the show last night. -160. So,
I think that's kind of an overreaction, though.
Yeah.
Now it's -115. They're still probably the better team. Still could very well win this series.
Well, Georgia Southern's pitching staff is better than the Terps, for sure. So the Terps probably just had a dude that I can't think of off the top of my head that would have had them as a favorite in that game one.
The MN DeGen said, you guys see the Friday starters? Heck yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Love those guys. They're doing God's work over there.
I'll display that later in the show, like when we actually dive into a couple of these games. We're just doing instant. We just got these lines in front of us just now. Kansas State, Boston College. Are we on the Wildcats again tomorrow? Boston College just put up like 10 runs on Ohio State.
Did you see enough out of Kansas State to want to back them again?
They didn't come up with a lot of clutch hits, in my opinion, from watching most of that game. They had guys on base. Culpepper was a stud. Neighbors threw, which is a little bit nerving to me. They brought him in when they were down. So I don't know if he's going to come in. He threw like two innings.
He could throw more, but they need this win. You almost feel like you've got to double down.
You can't lose to BC because I think BC is probably a bottom half team in the ACC at least. They could be a little bit worse too. That's being friendly and calling them just bottom half. Virginia Tech beat Charlotte 10-0 yesterday or Friday. They're only -125 here. This is where I'll actually dive into this one too. This one. So Wyatt Parliament, he's a transfer from Rutgers, is pitching against Cameron Hansen of Charlotte, pulling this off of Friday Night Starters' website here. Hansen's a senior. Parliament's a junior. Didn't have much opportunities last year with Rutgers. But like, is this where offense just an explosion for the home team in Charlotte here? I took the 49ers in the 11.7.
Oh,
yeah.
Ballsy. I like the
home dog. Against the Clits.
The
Clits.
Charlotte 49ers. Yeah, I like them.
Yeah.
Their head coach followed me on Twitter or X.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. Not sure why.
Yeah, so Parliament was a reliever.
I bet on him.
Parliament was a reliever last year, 17 appearances. In 2022, he made 8 starts for Rutgers, 3.15 ERA. I'm just looking at the team website. No advanced analytics here. I know that's right up your alley, but I don't have any in front of me. 34 innings that first year in 2022. Last year, he only threw 27. He made 17 appearances, 16 of them were as a reliever. So he didn't get nearly as many chances to start, and he was not as good in that role. So going back to being a starter, he could improve. Virginia Tech seems interesting. Maybe I was too low on this team coming into the year, because Renfro looked outstanding today in game one against Charlotte. All right. Yeah, you said LSU is minus 1450 against Central Arkansas.
I'm trying to read some of the comments here. Cody Frazier said, Michigan going to be any good this year? Noah, I know he asked you, but they lost 14-13 to Western Michigan.
Correct. Probably on a Friday.
No. Probably not going to be great.
Yeah, and we threw a freshman here today, too. It was Dylan Vigue, a guy that we're really high on. If you drop that one, I don't know. I assume Mitch Voigt's the actual best starter. He's kind of like our Caglione. He hits and pitches. So I think he's probably going to pitch on Sunday. But yeah, I'm sorry. I've been slacking on the chat for sure.
You're good. I'm going to dog on you while we've got this many people in the chat. So I'm a Razorback fan. Noah's obviously a Michigan fan. They play next weekend in Arlington at Globe Life.
I texted him when this field of teams came out. I texted him and I said, I'll be down there in Arlington next year. I'm not going to be.
Disappointed. I was going to bring you a Razorback shirt and everything.
Oh, damn.
The meetup. Anyways.
Yeah, the meetup is.
It'll be fun. Wandered. I think we play on Sunday.
The meetup might end up being Florida, Arkansas this year. I don't think I can pass on that. The only reason why I have to pass on this is because I have a family vacation to Florida the week after, and then I go to Vegas in March as well. So I'll be taking 2 trips. I've got season
tickets to the Razorbacks. Come on.
All right, dude.
You want to go?
Like I said, I know Phil Elson. So he's been a good friend of mine since I had him on this show. All right, let's keep scrolling. So 2 o'clock your time to 5 o'clock. Let's split it up again. There's a lot of games starting at 2 o'clock your time. Number one game that jumps out to you instantly is what?
There's so many heavy favorites.
Oh my God.
What?
UCSB is minus 120. Did they not learn?
Oh. Yeah, I just scrolled down to that one.
Oh my God. This is
wow.
This is off again.
And Hudson Barrett is going. He was their closer last year.
Friday night starter says Bremner.
Oh.
That's interesting. So yeah, I saw you guys were talking about Barrett going last night in the weekend rotation.
Yeah, Friday starter posted it. I'll look.
I believe
stall
you.
Stall while we look at that.
Yeah.
Because I want to know for sure.
Me too.
But
I looked at the team UC write-up.
Santa Barbara should be an auto play right there.
Yeah.
Minus 120.
That one's off immediately. I'm doing that right now before that moves.
I'm so jealous that you have DraftKings.
I feel bad.
Dumb. Okay. Louisiana Lafayette, Wright State.
Louisiana. That was a fun one today. Walk-off for the Razorbacks.
Yeah, I picked them in the contest too. I actually think they're my survivor.
Really? Maybe. I went with UC San Diego, the Tritons, against San Jose State. But go ahead. So Louisiana, right? You mentioned this one.
Yeah, I'd probably lay it with Louisiana Lafayette again.
Okay.
So UC Santa Barbara, Lafayette.
All right. I just gave DraftKings some business on UCSB. Back to the show. I couldn't let that one pass. I apologize.
Texas Tech, I'd probably lay 175 with Tech. Nebraska looked good, but not great.
They didn't look great. No, I agree with you there.
Texas Tech probably bounces back. Tim Tadlock's a hell of a coach, man.
He is.
I can't see him starting 0-2.
It's a very good point. Is minus one? So Brendan Gurton, is that the name that they're starting here, or is he a transfer? Why is that name popping up in my head? I'm checking Friday starters right now.
Gurton transfer. Yeah,
who's the number two starter for Texas Tech? I know the name. For some reason, Gurton was the one that popped into my head.
Well,
but yeah, Gurton is
a nice little spreadsheet so that everybody could try to put in starting pitchers, and Texas Tech is blank. So,
all right. Well, it was out. I saw it somewhere. So let me pull up Texas Tech's website real quick.
Okay. I'm going to go back to these like -2 to -400 favorites that I'm going to put together. Arkansas -445 got a scare today. Brady Tigert starting tomorrow. If you've not watched Brady Tigert pitch his sick curveball,
he's a wizard with the breaking
to
balls.
Watch that. I mean, it is a thing of beauty. Its spin rate is something that MLB pitchers aren't doing. I don't think James Madison is going to be able to hit the off-speed stuff. That's what Will McIntyre like ravishes in. His fastball is like 90, but his off-speed they couldn't hit, and that's what we needed to cool him down. So I think Arkansas, definitely anchor your parlays around them.
Cool.
I think Coastal Carolina. Are you moving
to a different game? Okay.
Coastal Carolina in that same time slot. -210 against Indiana. Indiana is not going to be able to hit with Coastal.
No, they can't keep up. 210 is a rich price, though.
That gets you at -125, though, in a parlay.
True. With Arkansas, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas Tech starter Zane Petty. That's his name. 5.68 ERA last year. I mean, Texas Tech, not
that's
one of the better.
That's what I was about to say when you were looking that up. It's Texas Tech, their pitchers are all going to be like 5 ERA guys. But yeah, it really doesn't matter.
Robinson looked good through the first time of the order against Tennessee and then kind of fell apart. I kind of expect the same from most of the staff for the Red Raiders. Nebraska is not nearly as talented as Tennessee, though. And the Sierra is a little bit lower than the ERA at 4.19 compared to the 5.68. So Tech's probably a good play here. Again, -175 is a little bit rich in my opinion. But we all bet differently. And all of my plays, I bet to just win a unit. I'm satisfied with just taking home a unit on all those plays.
One of the best sports bettors to ever live, Steve Fezzik, he would tell you that just lay the -810 on Wake Forest with Chase Burns going, because that's value. Value is in the winning bet, is what he would say.
Sean Alvarez says, you guys can just agree to meet up in Vegas.
Sean, I'm just so impressed. This dude sent me a bottle of Camus. I don't know if you're a cab drinker, but this guy got me hooked on that. That is like the nectar of the gods. The best Cabernet Sauvignon I've ever had in my life.
Thank you. Daniel is asking, do we just take a shit ton of overs in day two? Usually that's day three for me, at least. But
yeah, I was about to say, you have a lot of good pitchers still going. There, a lot of schools have a good 1-2 punch. Arkansas comes to mind. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm sitting in the middle of Arkansas in an Arkansas shirt. But you've got Tennessee.
If it flies tomorrow, it's only because most of these guys are still on short leashes. It's early in the year. They're mostly getting pulled anywhere between 50 and 80 pitches. So
yeah. TCU, they've got a good guy going. Cole Klecker is going tomorrow. They're -330. You put that in that same parlay, now you're at +135. Arkansas.
He's going against Justin Henschel of Florida Gulf Coast, 5.76 ERA last year.
Well,
he's a sophomore this year.
The way that Florida Gulf Coast lost that game, I feel like the wind's going to be out of their sails. TCU got the wake up call, but still started the season 1-0.
Correct. So, do we fall hook, line, and sinker again for the Huskies tomorrow against Arizona?
I'm not. I'm waiting until Avin K.
Sunday when Avin's on the mound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clark Candiotti transfer from Wichita State. I actually expected him to be the Friday night guy for Arizona. I don't know if that's going to be the correct spot tomorrow for Northeastern. They're Northeastern starting Dennis Colleran. I'm looking them up right now.
How is anyone scoring in that park?
He's a freshman.
Daniel said, what how park? Is anyone? I'm assuming Arlington, big league park.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee just put up, what, 8?
He was talking about Nebraska, Baylor. So yeah. I feel like he's talking about Arlington. And I agree. I like the under. That's why I like Tennessee tonight. Because in a big park, you want pitching. Tennessee had the severe advantage. We covered
Grissom,
that.
What's your opinion on the best place to find odds while I'm looking up this kid, Dennis Colleran?
I mean, DraftKings is usually the first to market. Circa, I'm going to give away a little cheat code here. Circa has, I personally know Jeff Davis that sets the lines for Circa Sports. And I know that they're only in, what, Colorado, Chicago, or Illinois, Iowa, and Vegas, obviously. But if you'll price shop what Circa has and then find a number, for instance, Jeff texted me today and said, why isn't Texas minus 800 against San Diego? Do they think they're playing UC San Diego? So that immediately told me whenever he hung Texas, I think minus 450, that getting them minus 230, there was a lot of value in that to someone that I respect in the space. Same goes for a couple other lines that he hung, like minus 115 both ways, and then you would look on DraftKings or wherever and you'd see plus 135. That to me is invaluable. So just shop lines, look what Circa has and try to find those discrepancies, because he's a lot sharper than DraftKings, I can promise you that.
So Dennis Colleran is a junior this year. He did not pitch at all in 2023. I'm assuming there was probably some kind of injury here. I can't find anything on it currently. However, he pitched in 15 games, 14 in relief for Northeastern in 2022. He pitched 22 innings. He had 24 strikeouts. So I'd say he's a little bit better than average. Just what Arizona did to Northeastern today, I'd probably just stay off. Let's go Sunday and fire when Cabral's pitching. Who knows? Maybe Glavin did that on purpose, throw their ace against a high major number three. Who knows? Because in my opinion, Cabral was the number one guy, and he was last year, I thought, from the top of my dome. Scrolling down, 4 o'clock, or so 3 o'clock your time, 4 o'clock my time. There was a lot of games at that 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock slate. The rest of the board, you already mentioned Tennessee, which I totally agree with you. I think that's actually bettable at 210, just straight up. But I'd probably even throw that in a parlay with anything that's like 400 or larger to get that thing.
Tennessee, inside. TCU, Arkansas. Just
what's that?
Oh, if you put them all together.
Oh, you were saying those are main legs.
Yeah, I would round robin them.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Altogether, it's plus 135.
Are you Louisville's minus 200 tomorrow?
No way.
South Florida.
Oh, South Florida.
What did South Florida do?
They hosted a...
They did host. They are the home team.
Not sure it's going to do anything.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up.
South Florida, not a good baseball team.
No, I mean, they were 2 years ago. Is that's what I remember from the Bulls.
Let me qualify that. I'll say every small school in California and Florida and the Carolinas can usually field a pretty decent ball club. South Florida lost to UConn 2-1 today.
They did. I just pulled that up. Just saw that.
They play Louisville, and they're what?
But they're catching Louisville's third starter though. Like that's a difference.
Yeah, Louisville did play a doubleheader yesterday or today, whatever. Yesterday.
So it'd be just by inheritance of the matchup, South Florida's second best guy up against Louisville's third, which Louisville really only was a two-arm staff or two-arm weekend rotation. They had Gongola and they had Liggett. Both of them have pitched. I don't know who their third guy is this weekend. So that's interesting. I'll be looking into that more after the show.
USF's probably going to win like 2-1.
That'd be great.
Louisville to lose by one run.
that's pretty good. Plus 1.5 is the play for you on that one. Game of the day, in my opinion, USC Grand Canyon. You get Stankovic playing against his old team. Connor Markle probably pitches against his old team. This is probably going to be really fun. I don't think
Markle. What happened to USC tonight? They lost with Caden Aoki starting. That was my dude.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Disappointing.
Yeah, what did
I kind of want to take USC.
They got murdered. BYU is not even supposed to be that good this year. They were predicted last in the Big 12.
Maybe I don't want to take USC.
That's not good. They only had 3 hits against BYU. Ugh. Yeah, that one's interesting. Because Grand Canyon hit the shit out of the ball today.
Grand Canyon always rakes, I feel like.
They do. They do. When they pitch, they're really good. Like, where are they at?
I think Gonzaga is going to take one against UCLA. I thought it was going to be tonight, but the Bruins came back. I think Gonzaga, I don't know, plus 160. That may be a play. I'm going to see who's pitching for UCLA.
I've got it right here. Finn McElroy, a sophomore for UCLA, who's 2-0 with a 4.5 ERA. Last season, Peyton Graham is going for Gonzaga, and he did not do good as a freshman. So both guys coming off a freshman campaign, entering sophomore year. Personally, I like the freshman that struggled versus the freshman that was all right, because one kid's going to be more hungry, one kid's more likely to hit a sophomore slump. That's the logic there for me. Which guy are you looking up, and which guy am I?
For who?
You type in Peyton Graham. Peyton is spelled with a, and I'll do Finn McElroy.
Who's he pitch for?
Gonzaga. You just mentioned the Gonzaga UCLA game. It's even both sides.
It's late. So. No.
Finn had so he was pretty solid last year. 268 a Sierra. It
kind of worries me. That's a baseball name, Finn McElroy. Like he was born with the Louisville slugger in his hand. You know,
no, when I think of McElroy, he's a golfer.
A golfer. I'm impressed you've seen 10 Cup.
I have.
It's McElvoy. McElvoy, though. I think that was his name. Sean's still in the chat. Sean will know. That dude's a scratch golfer.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
I played in college. I walked on, but I was not good. I have a long drive. That's it.
Who was I looking up? Peyton Graham?
Yeah, Peyton Graham with the
0-4. 0-4.
Yeah, he had a rough
year. 11.67 ERA.
Was he better under the hood? Because Finn
McElroy 4.93 Sierra, 7.5 xFIP.
Eesh, nah.
KBB was 3.9%. It's not very good.
Yeah, at 115 UCLA actually is pretty. Or actually, no, it was 210. Well, why was I confused there?
Because I was trying to talk you into why you should take Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Gotcha. Long Beach, I like them against Washington. They just blew out Washington here in game one. And it's 115 again, both sides here for game two.
Do we fade Johnny and his Mississippi State future again with Air Force?
You faded him in game one?
I'm very down on Mississippi State, Noah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go on the record and say that I bet it, but I was quietly rooting against Mississippi State.
Okay. Good to know. I actually thought they have a chance to hit the over in the SEC win total because of the schedule they have, not because I'm high on the team. Let's go Long Beach State News. I just need to know who's pitching. If he's a capable guy, they don't even have a series preview for Washington. I swear they won like it was 10-3 against Washington tonight, and Jared Engman was on the bump for Washington. So if they're able to do that against him, Calvin Kirchhoff's pitching for the Huskies. He's a senior that had a 7.46 ERA last year. I like Long Beach. All right. Let's dive into like one or two of the highlighted games, the top games for tomorrow, and then we'll get out of here. But
wait, real quick, does Creighton have a line? Because I can't leave them off the list. They won 24-0. Creighton Blue Jays. Look,
nothing on Creighton. Good. Unfortunately, that's assault too. Who'd Creighton play?
The school of the deaf and blind. No, Coppin State.
Pretty close.
24-0, though.
I mean, it's better than 26.
They put up a 10 spot the first inning.
Wow. Clemson was pretty close to doing that against Xavier, who's actually not bad. I was very, very happy with my Clemson performance. All right, pick out your favorite game, like the most notable game, one that people will be able to watch on TV, then we'll jump into a handicap of it, and then I'll return serve, and then we'll get out of here. Okay? One with, like, even or fair odds, and we'll get a good handicap.
You're making it difficult.
Do you want me to go
I'm
first?
Going Kansas State minus.
That was the one I was eyeing. All right, let's do it.
That's why I'm glad I went first.
All right, because I want to be on the Wildcats tomorrow.
Yeah, I feel like they get it right.
So on the Google sheet, do we have either one of these teams filled out? Are we missing one of them? Because you have them up, and I have Friday Starters, but Friday Starters does not have the tournaments listed. So,
are you talking pitching rotation?
Yeah. Just who's on the bump for both teams?
Kansas State. No.
So Boston College won 9-2 against Ohio State in game one.
I should have John West. Today
and Boston. they've only got one guy on that weekend rotation, and it's
UC Santa Barbara minus 120 is kind of another one that
that was a no-brainer. I bet that one already. I bet that on the show.
Those would be the two minus 120s,
yeah,
to get now. Texas Tech, what were they, plus or minus 175? I really like them, and I really like Tennessee minus 210.
Gotcha.
Kansas Those are State. Four that I'm going to get on immediately.
I agree with three of them. I don't know if I want to jump on the Texas Tech with the price. It's up there. I would rather probably throw that into a parlay and find one of the longer, one of the bigger favorites to throw it in there with. Can't find anything on Boston College, who they're throwing, which isn't a surprise. Kansas State, on the other hand, I'm into their news section right now.
You're getting live handicapping. Everybody in the chat.
This is how it is. It's difficult with college baseball. And I can't even get the link opened on their website. Fix your website, K-State.
A D1 just crashed momentarily.
It's perfect. The college baseball at its finest.
It really is. Oh, Bet Saracen has Kansas State minus 110.
Really? That's nice. Honestly, I'm more than the bet just on the price. I'm just trying to get a handicap. All right, let's go to UCSB. I can't open that the damn Kansas State article. Just know
I just
that
got really limited to a maximum bet of $9.
You got limited? Oh no. What?
$9.48. What the fuck am I supposed to do with that?
You got limited line. That's awesome.
What the hell?
That's evil of me to laugh at that. I apologize. So UCSB, I don't know. I don't know how we move on after that.
Oh, I've got way better lines that I could bet $9.48 on. I can get Texas Tech minus 145.
Okay.
UC Santa Barbara minus 105.
That's crazy.
Still minus 210.
I understand they're on the road. They should not be the dog. Did they not watch the game? Especially today? But like,
no.
It takes two seconds to look into this team and find out that they have one of the best pitching staffs in all the country.
I can guarantee you odds makers don't watch all the games. That's why we beat them.
Yeah. And Zach Sabers is not in D1 baseball's database. Terrific. So that's the pitcher for Campbell tomorrow, going up against Tyler Bremner, who was bumping on Fridays some days last year before Ager really emerged. So I like UCSB. People watched me on the show, already bet it. All right, dude. I appreciate you for coming on Friday nights. If this does well, like our our Thursday night show talking about Friday's games, I'm willing to do it more often. But it would be more of the same, just Grissom and I shooting off the hip and live handicapping, because you need to know the pitchers.
If you loved it, let us know. If you hated it, just don't let say anything. Know.
With the TCE country, like, we want them to let us know, because all interactions are good interactions, because then we can just turn it into humor and it's funny. Riley Fitzpatrick in the chat, he says I loved it, please do it again. We appreciate all you guys for jumping in here live. This will be also on podcast platforms as well. You can hit up Grissom on Twitter. His tag is Grissom on X. Mine, Noah B77 underscore. Grissom, anything else that you want to include on your way out here before we end the stream?
I don't think so. I post every play on NCAAinsiders.com bet tracker. So if there's something you want to see, if I bet, go check that.
That's about it. We will have our college baseball picks page up and running hopefully soon here. We haven't gotten the new widget updated from last season. So if you go to the picks page, you'll see how I did in the College World Series last year. I'm going to be tweeting out everything like I did today. The interactions were great. I enjoyed it a lot. So thank you all for tuning in. And Thursday night, we'll be previewing the Friday night games for next weekend. Grissom, what were you going to say before?
Noah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for coming on. I enjoyed it as well. Alrighty. For those of you that were listening, we appreciated it. Have a good night. I don't even remember what Colby's outro is anymore. Adios, amigos. Thanks for listening.